Well, good morning. We're glad you're at Calvary Bible Church this morning, and today we're going to continue our study in the book of Colossians together. The title of this morning's message is A Walk Worth Taking, and I pulled that title from the text from Colossians, and I like to walk. I like to take hikes. I'm told often to take a hike. There is a huge library of books that you can use as a guide to help you on a walk. Here's a book called Colorado on Foot. It's essentially a trail guide for taking walks in Colorado. I have this in my library, and if I ever wanted to take a walk in Colorado, I might find some of them in there. Here's another one on how to find your way around the backcountry of the Rocky Mountain. It's called Fly Fishing in the Rocky Mountain, because I like to fly fish. I like to walk. Here's another one on America's 100 Best Trout Streams, because I like to walk, but I like to fish too. And here's one on Fly Fisher's Guide to Colorado. So if you ever wanted to take a walk with a fly rod, here are some of the things that you have. But these are books that will help you find your way around if you ever wanted to take a walk or a walk with a fly rod, because I like to walk, but I love to fish. Here's a book that could be a guide for you if you wanted to take a spiritual journey. And it is a guide for your life. It begins today, at least in the text we're looking at, from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, with a prayer that you would know how to walk. And how to take a walk worth taking. When the Bible talks about our taking a walk or our living a walk, it really refers to our living out our life to walk in a manner that is this way or that way. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and notice verse 9, where the Apostle Paul begins to pray a prayer for the Colossian church. We just heard some of the families of our church, both here and in Erie, pray a prayer of dedication for their children. You heard moms and dads articulate what they want for their sons and daughters. Here's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed on what he wanted for the Colossian church. And this is a very good prayer for us, for ourselves, and for our children as well. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it. Heard of what? Well, you have to go back, I guess, in the context, and verse 4, since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Since we learned that you had become a follower of Jesus, from verse 4, that's what he is tying to in verse 9. Since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We'll stop there. That's quite a prayer. That's a prayer that's a mouthful. We're going to unpack it. If this is what Paul prayed for the Colossian church, I would like to suggest along the walk analogy, if this is going to be a walk worth taking, as I just suggested, anytime you take a walk, you ought to have a map. A map. Because a map is necessary to help you get to where you're going. And if you're going to take a walk that's worth taking, you should know where you're going to end up and what you should see along the way. And so I would suggest to you that in the analogy that Paul uses of a walk worth taking, verse 9 tells us that the map is none other than knowing the will of God. Look at verse 9 again. We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, just for a minute, historically, we need to jump back in the context and understand exactly what's going on in the first century situation. This was Paul the Apostle's way of addressing what was in the first century church a heretical problem that existed because of the rise in false teachers in the first century church. Paul was addressing Gnostic false teachers who, among other things, believed that they had a superior kind of knowledge. And in fact, the Gnostics used this key word, gnosis, as part of their terminology. And the Gnostics of the first century believed that all that was material, including humans, were evil. And the only thing that was holy was that which was immaterial. So God was holy, but everything in the human world, including what you would touch or handle, your clothes, because it was of material, it was morally evil. Therefore, that creates a very serious problem about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ had a physical body, and here the Apostle Paul was proclaiming that he was the Son of God without sin, without error, without any other problem. But the Gnostics of the first century believed that anything that was in human flesh was necessarily, because of its constituent makeup, was evil. So the way they reconciled this was that Jesus Christ himself was an emanation from God. And the way that God made himself known in the world was to put forth from himself a series of emanations. And they continued to descend until Jesus Christ was one of these emanations who came forth from God, but was not quite God, but a little higher than the rest of us. And there was this very elaborate sense of trying to make an understanding of who Jesus was. And the Gnostics had orchestrated a very elaborate false teaching about who Jesus Christ was. What accompanied the Gnostic philosophy of the day was a stringent legalism that you shouldn't observe this day, or you must observe that day, or you shouldn't eat that, or you must eat that. So there was a legalism, and there were certain special keywords or passwords or rites that must be celebrated by any true follower of God, very secret initiations. It was a secret wisdom that only a few initiated people could attain to. That was the climate of the day. With that in the back of our mind, then listen to what Paul says. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, of your faith in Christ, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see what Paul's doing? I mean, he's taking the key words of the day, that you would be filled with knowledge. And it's not just the word in Greek for knowledge is gnosis. But Paul puts a little preposition on that in the Greek language, and it's actually epignosis, or full knowledge. And Paul is sort of playing the game of the Gnostics, that you may be filled with the fullest knowledge of God, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you might not only know the will of God, but that you would know it in wisdom and understanding so that you would be able to apply it to your life. And when Paul piles on these words, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, he's saying not only you know it, but you'll know how to apply it to your life. How great is that? Because every week when we come together and we teach the Bible, it's not enough that you just know the Bible. I mean, we don't want to be just educated about what the Bible teaches, right? We want to know what the Bible teaches so that we can apply it to life, so that we can live up to it, and we might have wisdom in the way we live according to what we know, right? Not just knowing, but knowing and being, knowing and doing, that we would have wisdom and knowledge. See, what Paul is after is that he would lead the Colossian church to live in the world in such a way that they would be guided in their life by the map of the will of God. Do you know the will of God for your life? Do you have a Christian mind that's full of the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and the understanding? If not, how great would this be to begin your day every day with this? And now, Lord, since the moment I woke up, I pray that you will fill me with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. For what reason? Where are we going on this walk? What's the destination of this walk? Where are we headed? Look at it in verse 10. So that, here's the so what. Let's all say, so what? So what? I mean, isn't that what you want to know? So what, Tom? Really? So what? Well, so what? What? So that you know the will of God, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The destination is a walk that's worthy of the Lord, and that's explained for us in the simplest of languages, comma. What is it? To please him in all respects. That's the destination of your life. That's where you want your life to be headed. To be a God-pleasing person. So I'm living my life. I want to be filled with the knowledge of God and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that I might walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, that's in keeping with who he is. And what that means is the destination of my life is I want my life to be headed in a God-pleasing direction, so that I might please him in all respects. Now, what are the other options? What are the other options to a God-pleasing life? Well, certainly we don't have to look far to find people who are simply out to please themselves, and whose God is their appetite, the scriptures say, who really are only after satisfying all of their own impulses and desires. And you don't have to look far to see those. And in fact, we find it in our own hearts, if we're not careful, that we all have a tendency to serve ourselves. But what Paul's after is that you might live your life in wisdom, so that the direction of your life would be God-pleasing. Paul said to the Ephesians, you know those who walk in darkness, but don't be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And you try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Part of the mission of the church and mission of my life is, Lord, what pleases you? What will bring you pleasure and glory? Because I want my life to be headed in a direction that my life is for God, my life is for his glory. One of the options is that I live my life for me, and that's not a life of wisdom. There's another way to live my life, and that's to please other people. And there are many of us who are stuck on that destination. And the biggest significance in our life is that other people will like us, or that my father will approve of me, or that my mother finally says, you're a good daughter. Well, what is the destination of your life? I want my boss to love me. I want, you know, you just fill it out. I want my friends to love me. And again, the scriptures tell us that living your life for others is a very precarious place to live. Paul said, am I now seeking the favor of men? If I seek the favor of men, I cannot be pleasing God. So what's the destination? Where I want to go is I want to live my life for the glory of God, to please him in all respects, to make my life a Godward life, and to live it for him. This is my prayer for you, Colossians. This is my prayer for you, Calvary Bible Church. I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you would live your life in a way that is worthy of God who saved you, and that you would please him in all respects. Now, on this journey, there are trail markers. Because the question you have, well, is my life God-pleasing? How do I know if my life is God-pleasing? How do I know if I'm honoring the Lord and I'm pleasing him in all respects? Well, Paul gives four things. In the verses that follow here are four ways. They're little markers on the trail. You kind of, because let's face it. I mean, walking in this world, trying to please God, you can occasionally lose your way, can't you? You say, man, I don't know where I'm at. You ever take a hike? And I remember the guys at Calvary took me up Long's Peak, and we started at 2:30 in the morning with headlamps on. It was dark, and I was just in the trail following along. They knew where they were going, and I didn't. And then when the sun came up, I could see pretty well the trail. But you know what it's like to take a walk and get a little lost. Now, men don't, but women sometimes get lost. I mean, men, they just take longer. We won't ask for directions, of course, but let's say if we had a GPS. Here's a GPS. I'm going to give you four trail markers that sort of indicate, okay, you're on the journey, you're on the path. Because if you are living a God-pleasing life, here are four marks which indicate you're on the trail. Number one, go right to the text. That you might please the Lord in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. One of the trail markers that I'm living a God-pleasing life is that I have a life of good works. That good works are manifest in my life. They are the evidence that God is at work in me. And one of the trail markers is my life is demonstrating good works. What does that look like? Well, Jesus made a big deal about good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Paul made a big deal about good works in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. We've been saved by grace, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. So that no one could boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Because good works are the manifestation that my faith is real. What do good works look like? They look for like a kind of fruitfulness that God is alive in my life. I was thinking about this week and listening to, hearing. I often hear about things that happen in the life of our church. I heard an eerie of a group of ladies who are ministering to someone who was recently diagnosed with cancer, bringing meals. This kind of a quiet ministry to deliver grace and help to family out there. Here in Boulder, I learned this week of someone who is leading a small group, mentoring a group of 10 guys. I had no idea. One of the men who's going to be interviewed to become perhaps one of our elders in the next year. He said, well, what do you do for ministry? He said, I mentor a group of 10 guys. I had no idea. Yesterday I was at a volleyball tournament, and there was a girl there who had a ShareFest t-shirt on. I said, oh, where'd you serve at ShareFest? She said, oh, and out in Lafayette. I said, did you like it? She said, I loved it. And I just thought, okay, here's the presence of the good works of God's people out in the community, out in places that simply manifest God at work in me to others. Not as the basis of my salvation, but as the evidence that my salvation is real. In the Bible, a fruit of good works is often evidenced as leading someone else to Christ, or of giving of my time, giving of my finances, of fruit, of a transformed character, of a godly life. All of these things are part of a fruit of good works. And here's, I guess, what we would say. If my prayer is that I would walk in the will of God and that I would live a God-pleasing life, one of the manifestations will be, what are the works of my life? How can other people see that God is real to me? Right? Secondly, again, from the text, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what I put. Am I increasing in the knowledge of God? Am I growing in my faith? Am I growing in awareness of who God is? This will be one of the markers for me on the journey of my spiritual life. Am I learning more of Christ? Peter put it this way, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, as newborn babes, We saw babies dedicated as newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Do you know more about Jesus? Are you learning more about him? Is the spiritual vitality of your life coming to greater maturity? This is what Paul said near the end of his life. I pray that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Do you want to know that much about Jesus? Do you want to participate in suffering for the cause of Christ? That's an increase. That's a step of maturity, to be at the place where I get all the way to the place where I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to the image of his death. Wow. Who wants that? Well, we want to go all the way to know Christ. Increasing in the knowledge of God is one of the signals, one of the markers on the way. Third, a third trail mark is verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. I put it this way, stamina to persevere. Stamina to persevere from verse 11, that you would attain a kind of steadfastness and patience. Again, will you note verse 11? What is the source of this patience and stamina and endurance? See it in verse 11? That you would be strengthened by his might. This is the fruit of the Spirit being produced in us, that we are able to be sustained through difficult circumstances. You notice verse 11, it says these two words. It says the word to attain steadfastness and patience. Now, it's interesting that Paul often puts on these words one on top of another. We saw that in verse 9, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Here in verse 11, it's to attain steadfastness and patience, which are two words that are very similar. A little nuanced difference. Here's what most commentators think. That you would be strengthened with endurance and patience. Why do you need endurance? You need endurance because sometimes we face circumstances that are really challenging. And I think what's in mind in the endurance or the steadfastness is that circumstances in our life are really challenging at times. Why do you need patience? Many commentators think the nuance between these two is one refers to circumstance and the other refers to people. You need patience with people who are difficult and challenging. And certainly Paul knew that. And he talked to us about being patient with the weak, patient with those who are struggling. And sometimes our circumstances require that we have to persevere and we have to have stamina to keep faith in the midst of very challenging circumstances. And I know some of you are in the midst of those right now. And then some of you are in circumstances in which you have to deal with people who are more challenging. And you have to have patience with those. And again, what is the mark that I am living a God-pleasing life in the midst of very difficult circumstances? I am strengthened to persevere in the midst of it. I don't give up. See, this is my prayer for you, that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you would never think about quitting the spiritual life, even when it gets really hard. Because to persevere is a Godward reflection of his life. It's a God-pleasing response. I want to persevere. The last trail marker for us on this journey is at the end of verse 11, where it simply says this, joyously giving thanks. That's what I put. A joyous gratitude. That I can look in the midst of all my circumstances and say, okay, in everything give thanks, because this is the what? will of God for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will, joyously giving thanks to God. And we'll be filled with gratitude. It'll be the reflection of our life that we're thankful, that we say thank you to God. We stop and say, man, what has the Lord done for me? Well, if you want an explanation, here's three or four things right after this. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. One, who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. God saved us. God changed us. God forgave us. Verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. You used to be in darkness. Now you're in light. He transferred you out of one kingdom into another. You used to be a part of this world. Now your kingdom is the kingdom of God because of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is God's work of paying the price and purchasing us for himself. And we have the forgiveness of sins. If you don't understand all the things that you ought to give thanks to God for, when you wake up in the morning, you say, God, I thank you. I belong to you. I'm a child of the light. I've been forgiven. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I've been transferred. This world is not my home. Help me today not to think of this world as being my ultimate destination. My life is for God. I want to live a God-pleasing life and walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. You down with that? You want that? It begins with knowing the will of God and praying in your heart, God, give me a desire to walk in your way, to live in your will. Help me to know the will of God. Gratitude is a sign of a humble, Godward life. Okay, they're the markers. Good works, increasing knowledge, stamina, and gratitude. Are you on the journey? You seeing these marks around you? This is the walk worth taking. I pray that you will walk worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Let's pray together. God, today we ask that you will lead us into a deeper knowledge of your will. What is the will of God for my life? Help us to know, God, that it is wrapped up in your revelation, the Word of God. And we pray that we will be filled with the knowledge of your will, with the wisdom to live according to the will of God, that we might please you in all respects. And I ask, God, that you'll just awaken our desire to live in the will of God, to learn what is pleasing to you, and then to give the best of our energy to do just that, to live for you. Dear God, in the ways that we have desired in the past to live for ourselves, or to live our life for the pleasure and of others, I ask today that you will awaken in us the longing to live our life in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please you in all respects. And lead us, I pray, into a life of God exalting demonstration of your gracious saving work in us. And we just say together, to you be the glory in our life, as we follow you, as we walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.